You're listening to Opus Talks, where you'll be in on conversations with insiders in the energy, chemicals, and environmental commodities markets. Guests share insights into the latest trends and innovations, industry challenges, and much more. Let's dive into the conversations that explore where the energy economy is headed, right here on Opus Talks.
Hi, everybody. I'm James Stevenson, and welcome to our podcast today, where we will be talking about global metallurgical and thermal coal markets from a Colombian perspective. Joining me today from McCloskey is Ranjana von Ventlan, who is one of our experts in metallurgical coal and coke. And Ranjana, we have a very special guest joining us for the podcast today. Could you go ahead and introduce him?
The guest needs no introduction, but let me just introduce very quickly to you Carlos Andres Cante Punitas. I hope I've pronounced it correctly, Carlos. And he is the executive president of Phenol Carbon in Colombia, which has almost all the coal producers and traders, everyone as members of their association. He has been a bellwether of the coal industry, if we can say. And he will be speaking at our McCloskey Coal Conference of the Americas in Cartagena from 22nd to 24th of April. So we hope that all our listeners join us at the conference, where they'll have an opportunity to actually meet everyone from the industry and meet Carlos also in person. So from here, I would just like, Carlos, if you could just give a brief introduction of yourself.
Hi, Ranjana and James. As you know, and you mentioned, an economist with a master's degree in government and public affairs. Currently, I am the executive president of Phenol Carbon, the Colombian Federation of Coal and Coke Producers. I have been in this position for more than 4 years, after working almost for 15 years in the public mining sector, where I had the opportunity to hold important positions in the National Mining Director and Vice Minister of Mines, among others. Regarding Phenol Carbon, we are the association that represents the Colombian coal and coke industry. Our members are the main producers and exporters of coal and coke, thermal and metallurgical, both kind of cokes, metallurgical and ULP. Phenol Carbon purpose is to promote the sustainable transformation of the Colombian coal value chain. And we continually analyze the present and the future of the thermal and metallurgical coal market, and of course, the steel and ferroalloy industry in the world. Right now, we are working on encouraging good mining and industrial practices in Colombia, on reaching agreements with regional and national governments to foster and boost our activity.
Thanks very much, Carlos. Obviously, we're talking about coal markets today, but I think let's start with thermal coal. Could you give us your thoughts on Colombia? It has an evolving marketplace. It's traditionally gone to Europe, including places like Turkey and Morocco. More recently, it's seen significant growth elsewhere. Can you talk about Colombian thermal coal and how it plays into the seaborne market globally?
In such uncertain times, it is very complicated to have an absolute opinion about the market behavior. Colombia is strategically located. We have to take advantage of this, even more so in the context where international transportation logistics play a relevant role. While we see our market opportunities in Asia Pacific, South Korea, China, India, Japan, because of its high demand, the European market and the Mediterranean region, Netherlands, Turkey, still demand our coals. However, a prevailing commercial strategy is the conquest of the markets of the Americas, taking advantage of nearshoring so that Colombian coals are more competitive. We must establish long-term commercial supply relationships that provide stability and trust between the parties. We will continue getting Colombian coals wherever they are needed and where the prices represent the greatest benefits for us. In its new strategy, the U.S. should encourage a higher steel production with countries like Brazil because they have a positive trade balance. Because of the availability of steel coming from China at lower prices, Brazil has extra capacity. It is important for them to use their furnaces to their full capacity, and that could imply a higher demand for met coal and coke from Colombia, its strategic partner. But there is also a risk that this bigger production capacity increases coke imports from Indonesia, as we have already seen in the last year. I think the most competitive factor for Colombian coals is quality. James and Ranchana, what do you think about that and the importance of this for global demand? Is it representing an opportunity for Colombia?
That's a great question. Maybe I'll chat a little bit about thermal coal, and then Ranjana, you can give your thoughts on Colombian met coal and met coke. Look, the great thing about Colombian thermal coal is its high calorific value. We've had a huge amount of global production growth in the last few years, but it's mostly been in Indonesia, which is low calorific value, and in China, which is kind of a medium calorific value. Countries that produce high CV coal, like Australia, we expect to see challenges in the long term. South Africa's had transportation issues for a long time. Russia, obviously, heavily impacted by the war in Ukraine and the resultant sanctions. So the fact that Colombia produces that high CV, kind of, you know, in the 5,000 to 6,000-ish kilocalorie range, means that in our view, whatever coal Colombia can produce will be needed and will find a home. And even though we do expect the global thermal coal market, which by the way is setting records in terms of global demand, while we do expect that to ultimately decline, we do expect that decline to be fairly slow. You know, there's a lot of talk about rising power demand, artificial intelligence and electric vehicles and more air conditioners being built in countries like China and India. And as a result, you know, we think it will, even though the world is decarbonizing, we think it will be challenging to aggressively move away from coal, particularly in the Asia-Pacific region. And that bodes well for Colombian thermal exports. Ranjana, could you give us your thoughts on met coke?
Yeah, certainly. I think to a certain extent, when Carlos talked about Colombian coal and its strategic markets, which are basically in Latin America, but then, as you know, that Latin America has seen a huge influx of Indonesian coke recently. And what it meant was that there's a lot of panic amongst Colombian coke producers. Let's be honest about it. And I can understand that when someone is invading your pet territories and prices are falling, you would feel that, where do you go? But then the pie hasn't shrunk for Colombian coke or for met coal. In fact, I think it has increased. So there has been a lot of diversification in supplies from what we see. In India, as you know, that there has been quantitative restrictions on met coke. And the big target was Indonesia. And recently we saw that some Colombian coke shipments were able to go to India. And for met coal, I think we have seen some met coal supplies also from Colombia go elsewhere. Some have even gone to China or elsewhere in the Asian continent. Also, the grade of Colombian coke, let's talk about the grades which are available from Colombia at 65-63 CSR. The grade is quite good and the quality is quite persistent and consistent. And I think Carlos will agree with me that if Colombian coke says 65, 63 quality, what you get delivered will be the same. Whereas we know that we have seen several other producers globally where the promised quality is of a higher grade, but delivered can be a lower grade. So that's a big advantage for Colombia, that the grade is quite consistent. And you have ULP material, which is ultra low phosphorus coke of 0.006 to 0.008%. That's a very unique product in itself, which has a lot of use in the ferroalloys industry, and it is a product which at times you cannot replace it with anything else, or you cannot blend it with anthracite or anything else. So with these kind of products, the producers of both Colombian coke and metcoal, they are in a very good situation, right? The market is not great at the moment, and there is nervousness, right? But then the longer term story or the supply demand story stays intact. And James, this brings back the same thing which we were talking the other day between us, when you said that, you know, the net demand is not changing, right? It's just that at the moment there is excess of supply.
We're in a funny market. I mean, actually for both thermal and met coal, where we have all-time record demand for both, and yet we have the weakest prices that we've had in a couple of few years. And it's really not because of demand, really. It's because the expectations for demand were even stronger. I remember in late 2023 being at Coltrans in Bali in Indonesia, and everyone was saying, not going to buy, the end users, I mean, not going to buy, you know, demand doesn't look good. And then about a week later, I think a few of us had gone to the Eurocoke conference in Europe, and China put out a stimulus announcement, and suddenly all of these buyers went out and bought, and that demand really didn't eventuate. That meant that inventories rose, and that sort of set us up for the bear market that we're in today. Carlos, I'd like to get your thoughts. I think we all agree there are good prospects for Colombian coal overseas, and obviously there's some domestic demand as well. But can you talk about doing business in Colombia and the Colombian government? What is their stance on coal? Recently, an additional 1% tax on coal sales. Can you give us your thought, and what is the impact on Colombian producers from the actions of the Colombian government?
It is not secret that President Petro's government has declared itself to be the political enemy of coal, mainly thermal coal, since he began his term in office 2.5 years ago. He has wanted to impact the sector with tax measures that weaken our competitiveness and justify, according to his ideology, the premature closure of operations. However, several of these measures have been questioned and disallowed by the judicial authorities for lack of legality. This has been possible thanks to the lawsuits that we, the guilds and unions, have made. For example, the 1% tax on coal sales and export that you mentioned is yet another attempt to impact us. First, we expect this measure to be temporary for a maximum 6 months. And second, we estimate a collection of $30 million, which of course causes serious damage to the competitiveness of Colombian coal compared to its competitors in the international market that don't have to cover this mandatory contribution in our country. In addition to the contraction in prices of this raw material, translates into smaller profitability margins, which we believe might jeopardize investment to expand and improve production with better infrastructure for the mines and their operation. In this context, our role as Fenalcarbón is to talk more closely with the parties in the Congress and with the ministries of mines and finance to moderate or correct this type of decisions. Additionally, we do interventions with the judiciary courts to reinforce the actions. We do understand the need to generate resources for the national treasury, but it cannot stifle one of the industries that generates more income and benefits to the country. We have emphasized that in terms of export, coal contributes 1 Colombian peso for every 6 Colombian pesos exported by the country. In 2024, coal exports amounted to $7 billion FOB, which represents 14% of the country's exports, although the values decreased by 22%, the volumes exported grew by 7.5%. Not only is coal one of the largest generators of foreign currency, but it is also part of a logistic chain that represents up to 40% of the compensatory cargo. a key condition for imports from ports to the interior of the country to have more competitive costs. Coal represents close to $3 billion in foreign investment. Royalties from coal exploitation have directly benefited 11 departments, 132 municipalities, and 8 port municipalities between 2012 and 2022. There are almost 25 million inhabitants in this location, half of the Colombian population.
Basically, I just want to connect from here what Carlos, you made a very interesting point that half of the population residing in those coal areas, they are depending on these projects. So how easy is it in Colombia to finance coal projects? We've seen globally that large banks, they have been talking about walking away from coal projects, but there are a lot of private equity and other funds who are still heavily invested in coal. Do you see the same scenario happening in Colombia?
The funding for coal projects has been limited for some time by the guideline of the World Banking System of not promoting sectors related to fossil fuels. However, transformation and technological renovation can optimize processes that meet the sustainability parameters, making them suitable for financing. So what we have done as Fenalcarbon is connect the dots. What does this mean? We have sat down with national banks to explain what the industry is in a teaching exercise that allows them to broaden their vision of the mining and industrial business and to learn how traditional private banks promote sustainable financing alternatives to support the industry during challenging times. These alternatives contribute not only to emission reduction goals, but also to energy consumption efficiencies, energy cogeneration, and in general to environmental and social impact investments. In addition, at Fenalcarbon, we have become a think tank for Colombian coal, pursuing the consolidation, analysis, and delivery of relevant information to the Colombian financial sector that funds the operation of our affiliate companies. I have a question for you. You mentioned thermal coal is very important for Colombia. I want to know, how does McCloskey see thermal coal prices in the short and long term?
It's a great question. Obviously, we have a lot of coal right now and a lot of coal in inventory and production is strong. And as a result, we've got weak thermal coal prices. We've actually seen European prices pop up in the last week or so. But in general, we expect a fairly weak market in terms of pricing this year. Next year, we start getting more LNG supply, and liquefied natural gas will compete with coal in certain markets. And that means that both will be offering down to try to get demand from each other and keep their own demand. And that means that we will probably have a weak market after this year as well, certainly 26 and 27, it's difficult to see likely scenarios where prices would strengthen rapidly. The big caveat, I would say, though, with thermal coal, unlike metallurgical coal, weather is a big deal. We could very easily get a hot summer in the Northern Hemisphere, cold winter, you know, after the hot summer, and you can very quickly eat through coal inventories and we could kind of right-size the market a lot quicker if weather does play out. We could also get rain, which is important for both thermal and metallurgical coal. But if we get rain in places like particularly Indonesia, the current market is just not tested against heavy rain in Indonesia. That's always been an issue. You get heavy rain in Indonesia, it hurts Indonesian supply. But with Indonesian production hundreds of millions above where it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that's an even bigger risk. So to summarize, yeah, probably a weak market for the next couple of years, but certainly with some upside risks.
Now that I share some information about Metcogan, for our industry, it's very important to know how is Barranquilla Coke Index Price CSR 6562 relevant to the industry? And where do we see coke prices this year and near future? What can we expect, Ranjana?
Met coke from Colombia, which is of 6563 FOB Barranquilla. And at McCloskey, we are assessing this number on a weekly basis. How we see it as relevant to the industry is that, see, Colombian coke, firstly, because of the location, quality, and various other parameters, is a unique commodity. We cannot compare it to Chinese coke. Firstly, the quantity is completely different. The quality is very different. The supply markets are different. Chinese coke or Indonesian coke works on a different dynamics. So using Chinese coke prices to sell Colombian coke, it's not really the right correlation, right, at the moment. And we have seen that a lot of buyers and sellers and traders have been using our Barranquilla index off and on quite regularly, because we are, our index is also a good 5 years old, and we have got our own rightful place in the industry. So I think as far as the Barranquilla price are concerned, they are the most relevant coke prices for the industry. Chinese coke is from a different region, relevant for a different region. Barranquilla coke is relevant for the Atlantic basin and even for global markets where the Colombian coke material is going. Now, the second half of your question was that where do you see coke prices this year? So coke prices this year have they have been low, almost like fallen by 30% year on year if you were looking at last year, and even further falls we have seen recently. Under 250 is the average we see for the year, but then, you know, this is a kind of industry where predicting prices can be a bit tricky. But if you're looking at the very near term, we do expect prices to stay a bit low. I just want to give some more context over here. So look at the markets where Colombian coke goes. It goes into Europe, it goes to Turkey, it goes to Latin America. So basically, in the Atlantic markets, you're very comfortable. In Europe, at the moment, around 9 million tons of blast furnace steel making capacity is idled, or their maintenance is going on. But as we enter the second quarter, and this is, you know, really interesting, we are going to see a few more restarts in Europe. So we'll have some restarts in France and elsewhere. And what does it mean? To me, it means that there could be an increase in demand of met coke emerging from Europe from second half of the year. And elsewhere also, the thing is that, see, we don't see really, okay, steel production is likely to suffer a bit, or there will be some drops in steel production. But then, and I think over here, James will also agree with me, we don't see, like, we see steel production in many cases fall slightly. So the net demand for coke stays as it is. So Colombia exports around 4 to 5 million tons. So we don't see a massive drop in those exports in 2025. So if you're looking at coke prices, they will be softened this year. And under 250 is the best estimate we have. But obviously, as McCloskey, we are very thorough in our prices and we update our prices every month. So if you're going to ask me the same question next month, I can give you my numbers, or the price which I give you will be slightly different.
We do expect, certainly over the next decade, that steel production globally will continue to grow. There are question marks in the near term. The sort of rumor that I don't think is actually going to occur, that China will reduce, force a reduction of 50 million tons of their steel production. Don't think that's going to happen. But a lot of question marks around demand for this year, but things should be a bit better thereafter.
Carlos, would you like to update us on the met coal and the met coke industry in Colombia? You've been talking a lot about it, and I think you understand the industry more than anyone else. So please just update everyone who's listening about it.
It's very important for me to talk for the audience about our Colombian coke industry. Colombia has proven reserves of 4,554 million tons between anthracitic and bituminous coal, representing 46.6% of Latin American reserve and 0.6% of world reserve. In the past, we were recognized for our thermal coal exports due to the extraction in the northern region of Colombia. In 2017, we set a record in export with 100 million tons exported. By the way, I was the vice minister in that year. And as you mentioned, in addition to the thermal coal, for the last two decades, Colombia has become an important producer of metallurgical coal, coke, and semi-anthracite. In fact, 5 years ago, Colombia implemented the CRISCO standard methodology to estimate metallurgical coal resources and reserves. These reserves are mainly extracted from small and medium-scale underground mines in the central eastern part of the country, in the departments of Cundinamarca, Boyacá, Santander, and Norte Santander. The most recent data shows 153.2 million tons between probable and proven reserves. If we talk about resources, the estimation reaches 625 million tons. As we advance with exploration and mine developments, we expect this number will grow. I will never get tired of saying that Colombia is a privileged country with a variety of metallurgical coal of excellent quality. We have reserves of high, medium, and low volatile metallurgical coal. In 2023, we identified 34 regions with high volatiles, 17 with medium volatiles, and 9 with low volatiles. Our coal is recognized for its high quality, including petrography characteristics, low sulfur content, and free swelling index. This variety of metallurgical coal allows us to develop in Colombia the right blend to meet the needs and demands of customers around the world. What coal do we produce? Mainly low ash, low phosphorus, and low sulfur coke, ideal for blast furnaces, and high strengths, high resistance, and low reactivity coke that are recognized by the international market. Additionally, in the Norte de Santander region, as you know, there are geological formations with low phosphorus content, essential for ultra-low phosphorus coke, or ULP, destined for the ferroalloy industry, consolidating this special product in different markets and positioning Colombia as a reliable supplier. The different coal specifications have allowed the coke industry in Colombia to solidify in the last 20 years with a production capacity of 5 million tons per year, while in the 90s, it didn't exceed 1 million tons.
Carlos, you mentioned very interestingly about Colombian coal and coke. Can I just add another nugget of information? And now we have Colombian PCI as well, which is coming into the market or has been in the market. So what is Colombian PCI? Is basically the blend of thermal and semi-anthracite, which is being now people want to buy that as well. So talking about the potential of Colombia, it's not only limited to thermal, it's anthracite, it's semi-anthracite, it's coking coal, it's met coke, and now also PCI, which is available in the market. Certain traders have been offering it. Now, related to this, I have another quick question for Carlos, which is, do you want to share some thoughts on logistics and freight for Colombia, from Colombia?
As a country that exports raw materials, our main challenge is the efficiency in logistic costs to be competitive, especially in these times of oversupply of products and low prices. This sector is important for the Colombian economy. Coal and coke are the most mobilized cargo in Colombia, accounting for 48% of the total. In the last 3 years, the coal and coke industry in Colombia has consolidated as one of the main cargo generators. And this is valid even with the low market prices that have the industry operating with low profit margins, mainly for coals and cokes extracted and produced in the center of the country. Regarding competitiveness, our biggest challenge is the cost of transportation, which at current price levels can represent more than 36% of the total cost of moving our cargo to the ports. In the last decades, Colombia has worked on improving transportation and export infrastructure. However, the development in the intermodal transport, road and rail, is not enough yet. It is estimated that the export cost could be reduced in around 26% by rail and 60% by waterway, as well as a reduction in time. Our port capacity in the northern region of the country increased significantly with the execution of large thermal coal mining projects, and currently is more than 80 million tons. Coal and coke exporting ports have specialized cargo handling and manipulation and exhibit improvement in their loading and unloading procedures with dumpers, conveyor belts, loaders, and cranes, among other equipment to guarantee efficient cargo handling. Likewise, our logistic capacity allows us to receive fully cellular, Panamax, Handymax, and Supramax vessels. Barranquilla has historically been the main shipping port, averaging 70% of the coke load. Finally, the competitiveness of Colombian industry will depend on whether we can work with freight to Asian markets that are almost twice the ones we currently have to European markets. What do you think about the freights? Because it's really complicated for us to compete with other markets like Australia, for example, with the new markets in Asia.
That's a great question, Carlos. And I think, you know, one of the things is we have a sort of rapidly evolving global freight market with a lot of uncertainty. We have iron ore supply has been relatively strong, and that's been soaking up some Capesize capacity. On the other hand, we've had a slowdown in exports out of Indonesia because of uncertainty around pricing, essentially. I won't go into details, but uncertainty around pricing has reduced sales and has loosened up the Panamax market. And then there are question marks around Chinese-made vessels into the United States, right? There's currently discussion of fees associated with using Chinese-built vessels, not Chinese flag, but Chinese-built vessels, and that could have huge impacts for global freight. The thing I keep coming back to, though, is that we think there will be sufficient demand for Colombian coal. And while we have high electricity prices in, you know, some parts of the United States and in Europe, we generally don't in APAC. So I think what will happen is even if freight rates rise in a few years, I think even then end users will accommodate that price increase and will pass it through to their customers. But we do expect that more and more Colombian coal will go eastwards over time, even if the freight market strengthens.
James, over here, I think we should take the opportunity to look at the big changes which have happened in the U.S. in the past months and the 100 days of the Trump administration. We hear about it every day in the news, at tariffs and everywhere. One question which comes to the mind is that how do you see Trump's tariffs impacting Colombian coke and coal. Do you have any thoughts on that to share with us, Carlos?
It is hard to know what will happen, but world trade history has shown that after wars, geopolitical tension, and even commercial penalties, the commercial flow changes. It is redistributed. Trump's administration is promoting a commercial war. In my opinion, the main objective of this war is to regain the global leadership in the energy market, thus impacting its main competitor, China. There could be other reasons, like the relationship with the border countries, but definitely the most important reason would be their rivalry with China. The tariff to some products like Chinese steel or Canadian coal will make some exporters look for other markets, and this could impact Colombian in different ways. For example, if China exports subsidized steel to Europe and Latin America, it will affect our supply chain. On the other hand, more European and Brazilian steel imported by the United States could increase Colombian coke demand. If the penalized countries decided to put tariff to the U.S. products, Colombian coal could be more competitive in China and other Asian markets. Last week, journalists asked me if we were worried about the end of the war between Russia and Ukraine and the possible removal of economic sanctions to Russia? I told her, of course not. Russia continues selling its products to different countries like China and Turkey at very low prices, generating huge market distortions that have negatively impacted coal and coke international prices. What is going to happen when the sanctions are lifted? Will the capacity increase? No. Will the offer increase? No. What is going to happen is that Russia will adapt to the market prices, and that is convenient for all exporters because the competition will level out. Okay, I have a last question. What do you think about the global coal and coke demand projections in the face of decarbonization commitments? What is the forecast for the global market?
I think it's a really interesting time to be talking about that. We have seen really a bit of a slowdown in the energy transition over the last, you know, probably since COVID, where we've seen questions around reliability rise and we've seen questions around affordability rise. And, you know, I think every power market is trying to maintain three things. They're trying to maintain reliability, they're trying to maintain affordability, and they're trying to maintain sustainability. I think there's a bit of a sense that sustainability has been pushed a little bit at the expense of affordable electricity and a little bit at the expense of reliable electricity. And the biggest single example of this is that China went through two winters, I think between 21 and 22, I think, where they got caught short power and they had to turn off some industrial load. And I think that was a bit embarrassing. And certainly, if you're trying to run a country with a 5% GDP growth target, the last thing you can do is turn off power and turn off industry. So we also saw blackouts in South Africa. We saw blackouts in Australia, here in the United States. And since then, we've seen a real slowdown in coal plant retirements. We've seen extensions of coal plant lives. Of course, during when the war started, we saw coal plants returning to service in Europe. So that's kind of the first thing. So we'd seen that. There was a, you know, a little bit of a taking a breath. You know, definitely decarbonization is still a big part of the global agenda. The other half of it, of course, is the second Trump administration. And we do not expect a whole lot of green activity over the next 4 years that is originated by the US government. Obviously, companies are likely to still pursue their own, or will still pursue their own decarbonization agendas. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of a slowdown. We do expect things like adaptation to be talked about a bit more. I think there's a sense that it's going to be challenging to move away from coal and natural gas, given what we were talking about earlier with rising power demand. And as a result, you know, we need to do what we can to mitigate the effects of climate change. So it's a tricky time, I think, for honestly, for the planet, because we have this huge decarbonization imperative, but we also need to have affordable electricity and reliable electricity. And I think that that needle has swung a bit back towards affordability and reliability, and that will keep coal demand around for quite a long time, even as it slowly declines. I think that's probably a great spot for us to wrap. Carlos, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us on the podcast today, and very much look forward to seeing you in Cartagena. And Ranjana, thank you for joining me today as well.
We hope you've enjoyed today's insider conversation on Opus Talks. Join us next time for a deep dive into another industry insider's world. You can find more Opus Talks episodes at opusnet.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.